Well, all right. Now, this is going to segue into, I was hoping this will get you riled up a little bit, because we're going into Hayden's Pantless Rant.
Oh, shit. Okay, so...
Shitballs!
I watched Avatar 2 last week, and I know you watched it today, Owen.
I did.
I can't rant about Avatar 2, because I don't want to spoil it for Doc, and most of the shit I have to say about it will be too much of a spoiler for him. And, you know, it's probably too soon for the listeners. But I do have... I've got a massive concern. So, last week, before I'd seen Avatar 2, I saw a meme, and the meme was, it took them 10 years to make Avatar 2, and it's already got more critical... Oh, it's already less critically acclaimed than Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. I thought that was hilarious. I thought, okay, someone's fucking around. And then all the reviews started pouring out, and Rotten Tomatoes, IGN, all of them had Puss in Boots: The Last Wish rating higher than Avatar 2. And I thought, okay, this is a bit nuts. This is surely not. Like, I've seen the featurettes about all the filming, the cameras that they use, like these infrared cameras to film all these underwater scenes, Kate Winslet breaking that acting underwater record, like all of this insane shit for a film that's taken, like, you know, a decade to make, and it's being crushed by Puss in Boots. Like, what is that? So last week I went to watch Avatar 2, and I took my sister on New Year's Eve to watch Puss in Boots, and I left work and I thought, all right, I'm probably going to go and have a nap while I watch Puss in Boots. This will be all right. I sat down with my sister and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a very, very fun movie. I was amazed at how much, like, I laughed out, like, genuinely out loud. I enjoyed it.
Did you have a few tequilas before?
I had nothing. I was a bit tired from work.
Yep.
But I don't even really like Shrek. And this is a Shrek spin-off. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so it got me thinking so heavily about, like, my problem with Avatar 2. And now they have all the star power. They had all the money, like, so much money spent on it. They had all the technology, all, like, everything going for it. But, and this won't spoil it for Doc, I'm pretty sure, but I felt that the story was just so shithouse that all of the money, star power, movie magic in the world can't substitute for a quality story. Whereas Puss in Boots just got me right in the feels. Like, it didn't... It's a basic animated film that is a spin-off of a massive franchise, but my God, it got me good. And then I got to thinking about all the films that have, like, been made on shitty budgets with no star power, all of that, but with the right story, how huge it can be, you know? Like, Blair Witch was made on, like, $60,000 budget.
Yeah.
But it was gripping enough that it made, like, $100 million or something. The original Friday the 13th was, like, $550,000. But it had an intriguing enough story that, you know, and, you know, it was a bit of a trendsetter for the genre that, you know, it sort of popped off. People went nuts, you know. And then you go up just a slight bit. More recently, Saw, the original Saw was made on $1.2 million.
Yeah.
The original Rocky was made on $1 million. And, you know, Sly wasn't anyone when he made Rocky, you know. And it just, it got me so, not pissed off, but it just got me, like, so excited at the possibility that, you know, we, like, realistically, we, you know, we don't have the money and the star power, but with the right story, like, you can make a massive film, like a huge film. And it's very concerning to me that I enjoy Puss in Boots a fuckload more than I enjoyed Avatar 2.
Yeah, it's very, not wanting to delve deep into it, because obviously Doc hasn't seen it, but very black and white, safe storytelling without adding any more.
Yeah, it, like, visually is, like, and I mean, you get all this from the trailer. Visually, it is stunning.
Oh, yeah, second to none.
Yeah, you can't argue that, but I don't think me saying that the the story is absolute rubbish is any sort of giveaway, but for everything it had going for it, having what I thought was a pretty powerless and emotionless story driving the whole thing was enough to bring the whole film down for me, where a film like fucking Puss in Boots: The Last Wish was, you know, it was written well enough that a movie about a swashbuckling cat, animated swashbuckling cat, got me, you know, I was happy, I was enjoying myself. It was crazy, right?
So what you're saying is Avatar needed a animated swashbuckling cat.
Yeah, and a lot less James Cameron. just to be controversial. Yeah.
Any thoughts on that, either of you?
I think it almost ties in with one of the comments I made in my last Starfighter, is that, you know, a film's shouldn't be judged primarily on its effects. It doesn't guarantee a good or successful film. It comes down to the story and stuff that people can relate to within it. But look, I mean, to be honest, I think, and I hate saying this, Avatar 2 was always going to be just picked to pieces. I mean, he's taken how many years to produce this thing? He's got so many sets of eyes on it. I think it was almost doomed to be criticized completely, regardless of how good it may or may not be, which I hate saying. but yeah, I mean, it couldn't have possibly lived up to the hype and expectation that the fan base had for it. I think there's probably a percentage of people wanting it to fail in some aspects. But yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that Puss in Boots was a bigger draw. I've seen the trailer for it. It looks great. I'd probably pick that over Avatar 2. So.
Well, that makes one of us, because I was very surprised. I took my sister as sort of our New Year's Eve tradition, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll take her to see this, and I'll nod off. And I was so... It woke me up. It was fantastic. I think that I purposely didn't watch the original Avatar because it had been a long time. So I sort of went in with a fairly clean palate. I was trying to go in as unbiased as I could, and there are things that I took away. I made sure I did find some stuff to take away that I could appreciate about it. We'll go into that after you've seen it. But yeah, it sort of got me... I don't even know what emotion it elicited, but I was worked up at the fact that all everything that he had to put into it was all taken down because the story was shithouse.
I was just going to say, I think he spends too much time focusing on the technology and the effects around it, and not enough time focusing on the story itself. That's how it feels.
Like, I, you know, that point actually makes me think about, you know, when you think about Titanic, everyone talked about the scale, the size of the ship and this and that. The story's very simple.
Mm.
It's a very, very basic story, but everyone raged over, you know, all of the behind-the-scenes photos and videos of the actual ship that he used and, you know, the cast and the water and everything. You're right, he does invest quite a lot into the scenes, but then there are the movies where it does work. So, like, Aliens is a very simple story, but the investment into the xenomorphs and the sets and the creatures, you know, everything, like, it works with a film like that. But yeah, I guess it's a double-edged sword. There are going to be films where that does not work.
Just interjecting there, I think, so the difference between that, like, say, Aliens or Titanic and Avatar 2, you mentioned that you really didn't have any emotional attachment to Avatar 2, where it's a lot easier to get emotionally attached to the characters of, say, a Titanic or Aliens. And I think that would be the difference there, and the creation of the tension there that may have been lacking in Avatar 2 was present in the other two films.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you definitely felt more for those main characters than I did for the characters of Avatar 2. Yeah.
Fair enough.
That is my rant for this episode.
Excellent. All right. Let's move on to... My hidden gems.
Woo!
Well, guess what? I don't have a lot. What? I think I mentioned previous episode that I was going to plough through as many quality productions as I could prior to the end of the new year. So as mm-hmm. we're recording this, we're just into the new year. It'll be published a little bit later. The only real sort of one that could be, I guess, classified as a hidden gem, because everything else I watched is very well known, Mad God.
Oh, you said you were watching that the other day.
Yeah, so Mad God is 95% stop motion. It was originally a short film, I think, divided into two parts. So it is directed by a man called Phil Tippett, who has worked on a lot of other films. He's worked on, I think he was responsible for the... He was responsible for the Tontons in Empire Strikes Back. That's what he's predominantly known for, using stop motion animation. Look, I can't really... Look, for me, it wasn't really a true hidden gem in the fact that I only gave it 2.5 out of 5. So it's very, very weird, very wacky, wonderful in parts, very dark, very disturbing, very grimy, kind of macabre, but it is very imaginative. So from a technical standpoint, which I know you two like your aspects of technical standpoints, really mm-hmm. good, really good creation. If you're just judging it from the amount of work that's gone into the stop motion and the detail in the sets and the movements and all that, it's top notch. It's a bit of an exploration as to how dark the mind can go. The fact that it doesn't have a lot of dialogue in it, actually, it barely has any dialogue in it at all. I can't, outside of screaming, like painful screaming.
Jesus.
People getting squished and all sorts of fun stuff. Yeah, there's not a lot that's actually said in the film, so it's kind of hard to follow what it's about. Like, it just feels like it's disturbing for the sake of being disturbing.
You said that, sorry, it's 95% stop motion?
Yeah, so there are a few scenes where there is live action in it. So it,
okay.
So it'd be live, like real life actors just acting against a green screen, and it will have the stop motion set behind it.
Okay.
There was a couple of instances where I got, is that stop motion or is that an actual person? So kudos for them for actually making me think, is that stop motion or is it not?
Yeah.
More to the point that I thought, that isn't stop motion. But you didn't realise it at the time until you like it was plain as day that there was a person there that wasn't stop motion. Look, while weird and wacky usually resonates for me, I think the more disturbing and macabre aspects of it didn't really resonate with me. Mm-hmm. From that perspective, I just marked it down to what I did. It is like a really masterful creation. I think it just lacked a little bit of purpose, for lack of a better term. Like I say, it just felt like it was disturbing for the sake of being, say, like I said, there was all sorts of weird and wonderful creatures in it, and there was a lot going on. It felt like a foundry, and there were scenes of sort of mindless creatures being created, and they were being created to do work in the foundry, but there'll be other instances where if these mindless creatures were in the way of like a big steamroller, they'll just get squished.
Right.
There was weird and wonderful creatures that were attacking each other and fighting each other. There was surgery scenes which were very graphic.
Yeah, so no, like it sounds like sort of nonsensical.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Like even reading the synopsis, it's not clear.
I saw, when you mentioned it, I did look up like some images and trailer and stuff, and I definitely got that weird grim sort of vibe from it all.
Very grim, extremely grim. I wasn't going to watch it, and I thought, no, I'll give it a go. It did appear in some people's lists as movies to watch before the end of the year. So I thought, all right, if I have time, it'll be the last one I watch, and that's the way it played out, but... Yeah, unfortunately, didn't quite resonate with me as it did with others. But that was pretty much it for.
How'd you rate it?
2.5 out of 5.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about as good as The Last Starfighter.
According to Doc. But that was it for Hidden Gems.
Oh, nice.
Let's move into Doc's Chubby Title Challenge.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. I'm proud of this one.
I've been hanging out for this.
I was in the shower before, still adding to my ideas.
Wow.
So, Doc's Chubby Challenge, for those who are new or unfamiliar, there is countless amounts of shit on the streaming service Tubi. My sister watches a lot, often tells me movies that she has seen. I don't believe they're real until I see that they actually are, so I come up with the idea of finding one that was just ludicrous, creating my own one that was just as ludicrous, and seeing if Doc can tell the difference. And, as we said earlier in the episode, we're taking all the ones that I create over the season, put them into a pool. Hopefully we turn one into a film. Doctor, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Film number one
mm-hmm.
is called Thanksgiving. It is a slasher film following five college students who are terrorized by a possessed turkey. A Redditor stated, first 5 minutes is a woman running in the woods naked with a nice rack, and a real turkey tells her so at the end of the scene. It's so funny. That is film one.
Okay.
Film two is creatively called Nine Run Run. A thriller about a 911 operator who must rely upon her call experience to help her survive a dangerous game of cat and mouse with a psychopath. A Redditor stated, the best part was seeing a 911 operator A, be unfamiliar with the streets in her own city, B, have an inexplicably 1% phone battery, and C, not know where the closest police stations were in her own town. They are your two films.
I already know.
I bet you do.
I don't know. I'm going to go with Thanksgiving as the real one and Nine Run Run as the fake.
Fuck, you've got it right.
Yay!
I thought I gotcha. I was telling Chell about Nine Run Run and she said that sounds like it could be an actually all right film.
It does.
I was in the shower before and I thought an Aussie version would be Triple Hero, as in Triple Zero. She didn't really appreciate that. I did. Congratulations, Doc. You've beat the Tubi challenge this week.
But that, I honestly, that was I really hard for me to pick.
I was really happy with that.
Yeah. No, you did well.
Yeah. I honestly reckon about 10 minutes after we recorded last episode, I just thought of 911, 9-1-1. I'm like, I'm going to go with 9-1-1. I feel like that's some kind of bullshit that Tubi would make.
Yeah.
Or at least show. And it's kind of punny.
Punny or funny?
Oh, boring. So you knew Thanksgiving, oh?
I knew it as soon as you said it. Yeah. It's even got sequels.
Really?
Yeah. It's got. I reckon it's got at least three sequels.
At least
see,
three.
And that's why we do Leprechaun 3. Because the shitty ones always have too many sequels. Congratulations, Doc. I'm very proud of you.
You're still behind on the ledger, though.
I am, but
I'm going to have to get more creative.
I'm going to have to get to work on a new poster tomorrow.
Yeah, for Nine Run Run.
Run Run. I like it.
And that's it for anyone that's been keeping an eye on socials. We are, well, we have released at least one at the time of this recording, which one is real and which one is fake. And if you listened to the first episode and you saw the Leprechaun and the Karis Hell post, which had both posters on it, the Leprechaun one is in fact made by the wonderful Doc, who is sitting before us tonight. So kudos to you, young man. Kudos.
Thank you. The only thing I left out was the three. I missed that it was Leprechaun 3, so I'll have to tweak it.
I didn't even notice. I don't think anyone cared. I'm picturing for Nine Run Run, you know, that typical thriller of like, that thriller poster of like a cityscape and a woman looking back over her shoulder, holding her phone, and like with a terrified look, and then some hooded figure or some, you know, dark, mysterious shadow. Really, like, shitty Hallmark stuff. Or, well, yeah, shitty Tubi stuff. Tubi, please send us stuff.
Please sponsor us, Tubi.
We love you.
Anything else to add to that, gentlemen?
I'm looking forward to the next one already.
I do enjoy it so much. Top part of my week.
Could be part of the live stream quiz that we end up doing at some point. It'll be a quick fire round. Real or fake?
Oh, I'd like that. Like with a 5 second time or 10 second time on it.
Yeah.
I could come up with enough shit to to fill like a solid minute of that, I reckon.
All right. So let's circle back around to the former Dick Shark movie challenge, which now needs to be renamed because Hayden is now watching that before the next episode.
Yeah.
Good luck finding that. If you can't find it, let me know. I'm sure I can find it for you and I'll send it to you.
I really fucked that one up, didn't I?
Now, looking through some of the film, like I've had a quick look at some other films that you may not be very encouraged to have a look at. And I'll throw them your way, Doc, too, and you can nod or shake or actually speak, depending on what you want to do. One of them is Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas, which I hear is very Christian-themed.
I believe that's considered the worst movie of all time, isn't it? Or very close to?
According to IMDb, number 7 on the bottom ranking list at 2.5 out of 10.
Oh, that's rough.
The other one I had in mind, just keeping with our Turkish theme, and I believe, I'm pretty sure, not 100% certain, but I'm pretty sure this is a very late sequel or companion movie to The Man Who Saved the World. It's simply called Turks in Space.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun.
2.9 out of 10 on IMDb, rated 18th. On the worst movie list.
Turks in Space, 2006. Mm. Okay.
Like I said,
that's
very
not too bad.
Very like sequel or companion piece.
1.5 on IMDb. Jesus. Oh, this looks rough. Oh, it looks like it's got a better production value than Dick Shark.
Does it?
It. You know what? It looks like if they made a. It looks like a porn parody of like Star Trek. Like I feel like that would be the budget.
Are there any of those two that sort of say to you, I don't really want to watch those?
Oh, fucking Kirk Cameron. 100%. I've never wanted to see that film. I've talked about that film for years.
What do you reckon, Doc? Should Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas replace Dick Shark?
I feel like it has to now after that speech from Hayden, yeah.
I think so.
And
too.
watching it outside of the Christmas season is even worse.
That's true, yeah.
I think we have a winner, gentlemen.
Think so.
Yeah, no, I'll actively go out of my way to try and not watch that. Yeah, you've chosen well, you bastards.
Ha ha! All right, so we won't do any movies. I did have one lined up, but I'll save that for next episode. So you're watching Dick Shark, and then next episode we'll have some movies lined up for you to watch instead of Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
Dick Shark.
So, Doc, we'll introduce a new segment we're trying out called Movies You Wouldn't Expect to Have Erotic Fan Fiction. Now, we were discussing this earlier. So, Doc, what do you have for us?
We're going with one that I think Hayden will enjoy. We both enjoy. Trip Down Memory Lane. Home Alone. Home for the Horny Days.
Oh, no. I hope that hasn't got Kevin in it.
Yeah, bye.
I'm just going to pick a random sort of starting point here.
Because they're quite lengthy, aren't they?
Yeah, people have put a lot of effort into these.
Why? Jesus.
I don't know. Okay, so we're just going to jump right into this one. So it starts off, this didn't seem so bad. Not bad at all. why would her husband hide a female remake of a classic gangster film behind the entertainment center? Maybe it was the acting, wooden movements, tone-deaf dialogue. The actress clearly only took the gig for the paycheck. The cheap set didn't help sell the atmosphere. Maybe her husband was ashamed for liking such a terrible movie. That had to be it. Brimming with pride at her brilliant deduction, Kate grinned wide and bellowed for absolutely no one to hear. Honey, I'm eating junk food and watching your rubbish. You better come out and stop me. A moment later, she sighed. It didn't feel quite as thrilling as she'd hoped. No matter. With nothing else to do with her time, she committed to the rest of the movie and what little joy she could invent for herself along the way. Or at least that's what she thought she would do. Until... And I'm going to stop there because it gets quite graphic from that point on.
That's the whole point.
So the first one wasn't graphic enough, and this is too graphic.
Well, from there it jumps straight into reaching down. She undid her zipper to reveal a...
Vagine?
Chicken balls?
I'm sure you can all imagine where it goes from there.
Bob's and Vagine.
Please send Bob's and Vagine. Wait, so... Is she a grown woman?
I think they've changed it from the brief skim through. It doesn't sound like it's Kevin who's left Kevin. Home alone. It sounds like Kevin's mum has been left home alone.
Kevin home alone is just whacking one out.
So there we have it.
That was unpleasant. That really was unpleasant, Doc. I was expecting more... A lot more filth talk from you. I was
hoping for more filth talk. Maybe we'll utilize that as an introduction to what's to come.
Maybe that can be the title of the episode. I was hoping for more filth talk from Doc.
Title of your sex tape.
What a boring sex tape.
So that's the one we're going to try out again, I think. Is that we all agreed on that? And we'll give Doc a little bit more time to find something that he doesn't have to skim through while we're recording. And
he's toned down enough that we can get a bit of feel.
And look, if you can't find something toned down enough, you're able to substitute words. Like
substitute words.
If it says pussy, you can say private bits.
You could write your own.
Sure. Who says he hasn't? Who says he hasn't already?
Yeah, let's not go down that path, shall we?
Blade Runner. Yeah, he wielded his blade.
And she ran.
And she shivered in fear and delight. All right, this is going in a very weird direction. That concludes all of our segments, gentlemen. Did anyone else have anything else to add?
No, I'm feeling pretty good.
Feeling pretty good? Cool.
Yeah, I just want to hear about all the highbrow big cinema you've been watching.
Yes, I forgot about that. What are we watching? So, I didn't actually write that down. That's why I said it concludes everything. I will mention the stuff I've been watching. Hang on, I would have had that prepared had I actually written that down. As previously mentioned earlier, I did nut out several highly rated films in order to watch them prior to the end of 2022. They are, in no particular order, Colin Farrell's The Banshees of Inisherin, The Northman, The Batman, Nope, The Greatest Beer Run Ever, Barbarian, The Grey Man, Bullet Train, and the one I left for last was Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I enjoyed most of these. I know Hayden, you had seen quite a few of these, if not all of these as well. Just want to give you an idea of what sort of time frame I had in order to watch all of these. So I watched one on the 23rd, one on the 26th, one on the 27th, one on the 28th and 90th, one on the 29th, three on the 30th and two on the 31st. So I definitely crammed them all in. I'll just list my favourites out of all of those. So The Northman, The Greatest Beer Run Ever, which I found a few people were conflicted about, and Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which I know you loved, which we can get into very soon. Barbarian was the other one I rated. So I rated all of those 4 out of 5. I didn't rate anything under 3. So
I've read, just wanted your opinion on Banshees.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people say that was film of the year.
It wasn't for me.
Yep.
Look, my thoughts on that was, I like the quirkiness of it. Like, you kind of expect that from an Irish drama laced with comedy.
Yeah.
If you get my meaning. Look, it was well acted. You can pretty much rely on Colin Farrell and Gleeson to churn out some good performances, which is what they did. I think the thing that didn't sit well with me is when things started to turn towards the sort of the final act, and for a story that's sort of rooted in reality, some very drastic measures seem to be taken. And look, I understand the symbolism behind it. Like, you've got the Irish Civil War going on in the background, and I get there's a bit of a play on that and that sort of thing, and everything's a little bit crazy. But from that perspective, that's sort of not what ruined it for me, but just brought it down a bit. What do you think?
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Okay. It's one that I sort of want to get to in the next week or two, just because I'd seen a lot of praise for it.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I think I'm in a little bit less of a hurry now that I've gotten your feedback. You and I tend to, I think we see fairly eye to eye on films in a lot of ways. So
on a lot of things, I think we have a few differing viewpoints, which makes it a bit more interesting. If we were both the same on everything, I think it'd be a bit boring, but. And look, I had the same thing, and I might have gone to it with a little bit higher expectation. And don't get me wrong, it's well made. It's pretty well paced. There's a lot to like about it, but yeah, just towards the end there, it just takes quite a bit of a drastic turn, and just didn't sit as well with me as it did others.
Okay,
but yeah, outside of that, no real TV shows. That was pretty much it. What have you been watching at the moment?
So, obviously, Avatar 2, Puss in Boots. Gone heavily over that. I tried to get in a few as well before, you know, so we could do our top 5 of the year before the end of the year. So, I also did The Gray Man. I did Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Like, I cried at the end. Like, just fucking beautiful film. And one that I don't know if I've touched on here, but I absolutely loved it.
Touched on?
Was, a film called Operation Mincemeat.
Yes, you were talking about this in chat.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And if anyone likes, you know, true story, war sort of stories, it's not a battlefield film. It's based on a true events that happened of the Allies, the British wanting to go through the rise of Hitler. They needed to invade. They wanted to go through Sicily. Everyone knew. Even Hitler, like, they're like, you know, Hitler's going to expect this. What do? We have to convince him that we're going to go through Greece. How do we do that? They come up with this just insane, elaborate plan to plant fake documents on a body and dump it into a sea near Greece. And, like, they create this entire life for this fictional soldier. And on, you know, just based on a win and a prayer that these documents are going to find their way to Hitler and convince him that they're actually going to invade through Greece, not Sicily, da 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 da. Fucking fantastic film. Absolutely loved it. So glad that I watched it. And yeah, from what I can tell, a lot of the story is actually factual. And they do show the grave of the body they used at the end of the film, the actual grave, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
And then in between, a lot of The Office rewatching, because it's my go-to feel good.
Very good. Doc.
Yes.
Did you watch anything at all? Apart from that Starfighter.
Well, apart from that, I didn't watch films as such, keeping in with the holiday spirit. I watched some of the Christmas specials that came out. I don't know if you guys got into those of that or not.
When this goes to air, everyone will be able to see those reviews and ratings on your social media.
They will. The Guardians of the Galaxy, holiday special. Watch that one. The Detectorists came back with a, I guess you'd call it, Christmas special slash film, clocked in at 75 minutes as opposed to their general, what, sort of 25, 30 minute episodes.
Yeah, I saw that and I'm going, what the fuck? Why is it so long?
Yeah. But the standout of the three specials I watched was the Cleaner Christmas special with Greg Davies.
Right.
I don't think either of you have watched the Cleaner series.
I watched the first one. It kind of didn't grab me, so I haven't returned to it. For me, Greg Davies is a little bit hit and miss. Some of his stuff is very good, and other stuff I just don't connect to. So the Cleaner was probably one, and I tried Man Down twice, and I just couldn't get beyond the first episode of Man Down, unfortunately.
Oh, see, I absolutely love Man Down. I've rewatched that so many times.
I know you do, and I like I love the late Rick Mayall too. So that was even a little bit more painful for me, the fact that I couldn't get myself up to watching that, because I do like Greg Davies. For those in the well, obviously know him from the UK as the host of Taskmaster amongst other things. But yeah, very funny comedian from soggy old Britain.
Yeah, but the Cleaner Christmas special, that's for anyone who knows the series, definitely recommend checking that out. Really good. Apart from that, it's just been Big Bang reruns, Seinfeld, nothing new really.
Have you completed your remastering of your Lost Seinfeld episode?
It is not completed as yet. I'm trying to make one final big decision for it, which is going to sort of change the whole feel of the viewing experience.
Are you pulling a George Lucas?
Are you gonna digitally put yourself in?
I'm actually already in it.
I was gonna say he's already in it. He's just gonna put some extra people in there that weren't there before.
Have a guess who I play.
Oh shit.
Mickey.
Blaine. Oh look, not Kramer, surely.
Not Kramer.
Jerry.
Not Jerry.
Oh, you'd be, George. You'd be George then.
Not George.
Oh, Newman.
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 Hello, Newman.
What's even funnier is that when I was in this, I'd never seen a single episode of Seinfeld. So that makes
I can only imagine his rendition of
it. Did you not do any research?
It was all very last minute.
Apparently so.
And now he's spending all this time remastering a last minute project.
Exactly.
Anything else, gentlemen, on the what we've been watching?
That's it from me.
Very good. Before we close out, one of our fellow podcasters reached out to our Twitter account. So his name's Gary. He is the host of the Choose Film podcast. So you can find him on Twitter and Instagram. So he made a short film himself. And he did ask whether one of us could watch and review it. I did finally get around to doing that, and I just sort of said, do you want us to write a written review or give you a plug on the podcast? And he said, whatever you'd like to do. So I did get around to watching it. It is a very nice little short film, very well made, very, very clear about where it was going, and it does have, we were discussing before, emotional attachment. It definitely has that in it. So if you want to go and check that out, I'm giving you a shout out, Gary. Go to Choose Film Podcast and just get in touch with him if you're interested in watching that. He'll give you the details on how to do that. After that plug, let's wrap it up, gentlemen, for another episode. Season 2, Episode 3 is almost done and dusted. How do you find us on socials? Well, if you're not on there already, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are the Uncredited Extras Podcast. Just give that a search in wherever you are, and that should pop up. If you want to send us an email, by all means do so. We're very lonely on the email, the old inbox in the email. So theuncreditedextras@gmail.com if you feel the need to send us an email. If you want to follow us personally, Doc, how do people find you? What are your social media platforms and how do they find you?
I'm on most of them, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and YouTube. I am under doc_plays.
You keep forgetting one. Do you remember what it is? The one you stream on?
Twitch.
Every time. Wait, do you make TikToks?
I've posted a couple of like promo videos. I haven't made a traditional style TikTok, but
So not you flossing and stuff.
That's only on his OnlyFans.
No, but I've made myself a social media planner for the year, and my goal is to have at least one original TikTok video a month. So we'll see how that goes and what I can't even tell you what to expect, but that's the plan.
I'm excited.
Expect the unexpected.
Exactly.
You also have a Discord, don't you?
I do. You would have to find the link for that on one of those other social media platforms because it's a ridiculously jumbled code. but yes, I do have a Discord that people can join.
Ah, Doc, always making it hard to find his socials. Hayden also has socials and he never remembers them because he hardly ever uses them, but you can follow him on Twitter at Buster Gambit, BustaGambit. His Instagram is Buster Gambit, BusterGambit. Now remember, earlier in the episode we were discussing that we want your movie ideas for Hayden's anti-cast list. Get cracking on those social media accounts. Give him a follow. Give him your ideas. Let us know how you go. If you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I won't feel bad if you don't. Also on Letterboxd, all of those links are on our link tree, on the Uncredited Extras social media as well. Before we close out today, just wanted to give a shout out to some other people. So podcasters and listeners who have been interacting with us since our return. People have been asking us when we're returning, and then when we did return, they've been giving us feedback and likes on our posts and saying how good it is that we are back, and we are much appreciative of that. Normally we don't give too many shout outs just for fear of leaving someone out, but I did want to mention the following. So Chloe from Movie Night with the Richie Girls and Up Late with Glenn and Chloe, which is part of the Good Movie Monday podcast. Lee from Lights, Camera, Rant. Glenn from Good Movie Monday. Luke, formerly of Hoth Off the Press, who no longer has a podcast. Leah at We Are the Watchers podcast. The Good, the Bad, the Weird podcast. Amy at Friday Night Wine Fight. Hopefully they come back soon. The boys from Fly on the Wall podcast. Recasted podcast. Dan at What If It's Cool. Nerd Dose podcast. Hoffy Coffee. Life of an Average Joe and For Your Reference have all been avid followers and supporters. Thank you very much. Apologies if you have been supporting us and I've left your name out. Just chalk it up to a mere oversight on my behalf. On behalf of all three of us, thank you very much for listening again. I know we waffle on and we're very grateful of your listenership. Thank you for letting us invade your listening ears. And until next time, we look forward to conversing with you soon. That's a wrap, gentlemen.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Playing my part in the street scene, anonymous under blockbuster facades as a commoner, edited in the uncredited extra. Don't you envy my success or the references I tour, glamorous and poor, not high off the nickel bag, high off the corner store.
That is, and I'm trying to find a spicy paragraph, but there's. It's all really tame.